Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. Congratulations to Peggy O'Donnell from Bel Air, who knew the answer and just won herself two tickets. And by the way, these are awesome tickets. We don't give away the cheap nosebleed seats here on KNSS. I was filling in for Steve McIntosh this week. We gave away a set of tickets, eight rows up right away, right? Like literally eight rows up from the stage. Yeah, these are good seats. I looked online, they're like $100 tickets. But she knew that Edwin McCabe, according to the Kansas GOP, by the way, that was the clue that I gave. I kind of gave a little hint away when I said the Kansas Republican Party. But according to the Kansas GOP's website, if you go to kansas.gop/aboutus, it's right there on their website. From Edwin McCabe, the first black American to be elected to a statewide office in 1882. It's right on the Kansas Republican Party's website.
That was really slick of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's nice.
I kind of gave him a hint without giving him a hint.
It was an open book test.
Yes, and I gave him a hint by saying he was a Republican. I figure all they'd have to do is go to the Kansas GOP website.
Well done.
And there it was. But it took, we had over, by the way, folks, we had over 15 people call. So thank you. I appreciate that. That was kind of fun. We should do that more often. You know what? We should do that. I've got a ton of stuff to give away. We should start giving away more stuff. But anyway, welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS. Thrilled to have you with us again for our second hour. We're going to resume doing something that we do every election cycle, trying to bring you as many candidates as possible. Now that we're through the primary, we will bring you general election candidates. If there's someone in particular you'd like to hear from, please let me know. We will invite them on the show, including Democrats. We've had Democrats on the show in the past. We will do that. All that being said, joining us now is Jeff Bluebaugh. He is a candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 2. Mr. Bluebaugh is a native Kansan, born and raised in Harper County. After graduating from Chaparral High School, he moved to Wichita to work for Cessna and continue his education at night. He's lived in Wichita for over 30 years, despite what his opponents falsely telling his voters. Bluebaugh was elected to the Goddard School Board in 2011. He was later elected to the Wichita City Council representing District 4 in 2013, has been elected three times in total to the Wichita City Council. And then in 2014, he was elected by the council to serve as vice mayor. Mr. Bluebaugh, Jeff, thank you for joining us this evening. Nice to have you on the show, my friend.
Hey, it's always great. Thanks a lot, John, for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
So, you know, when you left the city council, first off, I'm sure it was a pleasure to no longer have to serve with Brandon Whipple. But I figured you were probably done with sir. You'd done your time. It was sort of like parole. I figured you were done. What prompted you to decide to run for county, brother?
Yeah, no, I had my sights set on this county seat about 4 years ago from just right now, you know. I mean, it was, you know, especially, I know it's a Republican district, and I just want to see it represented well. I got a lot of things accomplished when I was on the Wichita City Council. You know, West Street, Meridian, Seneca, the intersection of K-42 and West Street, 235 Kellogg, the ballpark, the airport. We were able to do a lot of things without dipping hard into our general obligations. There were other funding opportunities we could do that. We could do with that. And just, you know, my time on the council, people were reaching out to me for the county needs because they weren't getting their current elected to respond to them. And I have always viewed my position as elected as, you know, I was a customer service director out of Cessna. So I always view my seat as I'm Mr. Customer Service rep for the district, and I'm a natural problem solver, and I like to take care of issues for people. And as I continued to see more and more issues coming in from the county side to me, because, you know, I've got a reputation for returning calls and following up with emails and being action oriented. And as I got more and more requests in from the county and working with our commissioners, you know, it was only natural that I I go after that seat, and I'm excited to be running for it.
Well, as you know, I'm very familiar with that seat. It was more than half of my House district was down there in Southwest Sedgwick County, and Sarah Lopez does not represent that district. It's not a Democrat district. It's a Republican district. She got it through a fluke and through, you know, some false things that were said in the last election. The biggest issue, I think, you and I would defer to you because I know you've done a lot of door knocking, but I would have to assume the biggest thing has been property taxes. And we all know that each year, you know, after appraised values are set, the mill rates should be reduced. They haven't been. The county continues to capture revenue neutral rates. They're doing it again. They've just announced once again that they're going to capture basically 100% of the revenue neutral rates. You've been very public about your refusal. You did it on the city council, that you are committed not to raise taxes and not to vote to exceed the revenue neutral rate, correct?
Absolutely, John. I stood behind that on the city council, and I'll do the same on the county commission. We have got to make serious cuts with spending. We've knocked thousands of doors. We've been knocking doors since April, and the message is clear. I'd say 9 to 9.5 out of 10 doors, it's all taxes, taxes, taxes. It's my property taxes, and don't give me another sales tax, and don't give me another bond vote. I mean, people are taxed to death, and they're having to make real life cuts within their own houses, and they expect government to do the same. You know, well, I mean, I see doing a lot of things with tax dollars, you know, Exploration Place, the zoo, and people, you'll see people remodeling their homes. They're not fixing up their kitchens. They're not building under their houses. They're having to make cuts in their own homes, and they expect government to do that. There's a time and a place for that. John, you know, I'm all for quality of life, and, you know, we want to have the our best, you know, they always say it's a sad frog that complains about his own pond, but we want our pond to be nice. We want our area to be nice. But there's a time and a place to do it, and it's not when interest rates are high, and it's not when inflation has hit us hard. There's a time and a place for everything, and right now, we've got to remember that taxpayer, and they're struggling. People are out there choosing prescription drugs, but they're going to pay their prescription drugs, they're going to pay their property taxes. It's real life, and people feel unheard.
Yeah, well, it's like you said, it's not when grocery prices are up 26%. It's not when price a gallon of gas has gone from $2 to $6 nationwide. It's not when home prices are up 46%. So, I mean, I get it. You're absolutely right when you talk about that. I'm glad you mentioned the sales tax thing, because the commission seems to be considering a plan to raise a countywide sales tax with a promise that the revenue would be going towards reducing property taxes. The folks I've talked to, and you, as you know, I've been outdoor knocking a lot. My wife and I do that at least 20 hours every week. Do you support that idea? Because the folks I talk to do not like that idea by and large.
No. And I've heard no support from the doors. Remember, I was on the Wichita City Council back when they tried to push the last sales tax, and that was for water, and there was a portion of it that was going to be used for incentives to bring businesses here. But you look back then, we couldn't get a sales tax passed for water. So why would we be able to get a sales tax passed now for quality of life things in the county?
Yeah, it does seem sort of counterintuitive. We're talking with Jeff Blubaugh, candidate for Sedgwick County Commission District 2. There has been a lot of talk recently about in the Wichita Eagle and other places about the county doubling the budgets for the zoo, Exploration Place, for example. There's also been talk again about this being considered for restricting non-core government spending, quality of life issues like the museums, Exploration Place, or the zoo, moving those to user fees or sales taxes, ensuring basically that property taxes could not be used to fund those items, and that those items would be then used by user fees or sales tax. What do you think of that idea?
So my fear is, John, you know, whenever we originally, back in 1985, when you look at all the publications to get that countywide 1 cent sales tax passed, it was sold as a way we're going to spend half the money to finish Kellogg. Remember the big, you're going to be able to drive across Wichita and not have any stoplights.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And the other half was going to be, and the other half was going to be for property tax relief. Well, what happens? When I was on the Wichita City Council, and I'm like, hey, 119th, 135th, 151st, we're not done with Kellogg. You know, we're still making three additional stops out there. And the majority of the council, I was overruled on it. They said, no, let's move the money to the North Junction. Let's start moving it to Northeast Wichita. Meanwhile, out west, it's crickets out there. You know, John, you and I live about a half mile apart. You know, we know what Kellogg's not done out there.
Wait a minute. I thought you lived in Harvey County. I mean, it is funny what your opponents, the malarkey that some of these opponents will come up with, isn't it?
and John, it's one of those things. I want to stick to the issues, but that kept coming up, and the Eagles getting ready to run the article on my race, and Matt Kelly, you know, wanted to do it on the phone, or I was going to go to the Eagle, and I said, Matt, just go ahead and come over to my house. And he's like, okay. So, you know, he walks in, and he goes, oh, I get it. And I'm like, yes, this is a house my wife and I built in 2006 when we got married. We picked out the lot, you know, right out there off of Pawnee. Pawnee was dirt then, you know, they hadn't even expanded it to four lane, but hopefully we're done talking about that and we can keep staying with the issues. But the property tax is what's really hurting people, John. So I'll tell you some information that I knew when I was knocking the doors. People tell me that they protested their taxes. And if they couldn't get anywhere with the county, which I will say our county's got a decent stipulation rate. I'll give it to the tax appraiser. They do work with a percentage of the people. But if you go to municipal court, is the next level, if you don't accept the county value, or you go to the next higher level, the BOTA, the Board of Tax Appeals, there is a 1% chance you will get a reduction.
Yeah.
There's hundreds of cases, and I think I sent you this data earlier so you can see it, John. There's a 99% chance that value's not going to get changed. Now, that's scary. That's very scary. That tells you there is no check and balance system out there with our assessors, the state of Kansas. And this is a trend that's been going on since the appointment of the individuals that Laura Kelly appointed to the taxation department. And the public has just got to understand this because it's very scary. We have to have a check and balance at all levels of government, certainly property tax. And it's specifically hitting businesses, commercial businesses hard. Now, some people think, well, businesses can handle it better than a private individual. Well, really, if it's a grocery store, guess what? They're adding an extra 10% onto your groceries. If it's any kind of product or service you're buying from, they've got to pass on. They don't have a choice.
Right. Well, and that's the problem. And folks don't understand, and I think a lot of people don't realize that this issue, I've talked to people who say, well, I don't own a home, I rent. And I point out to them, yeah, well, your landlord owns the home, and he's just going to raise your rent. And that's what people don't understand. Jeff, if folks are interested, if they want to get involved, if they want to donate, they want to, you know, get out and door knock for you, the best way for them to get in touch with you is jeff4sedgwickcounty.com, and that's the number 4, correct?
Correct. And, John, you know me. I'm bold. 316-640-0656. That's my personal number. Call me and text me. I'll gladly take anyone's calls or texts.
It's a brave man, brother. I appreciate you. I know you've knocked a lot of doors, and I'm sure you will knock a lot more. I appreciate you, my friend. Carry on and fight, brother. Keep fighting.
Thank you, John. Appreciate the opportunity to speak on your show.
We'll take a quick break, and then author Daniel Greenfield will expose how less than 1 week before 9/11, Islamist sympathizers marched through downtown Manhattan. Talk about tone deaf. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action activates the largest grassroots operation in the country to join together and phone into key federal races. You can join AFP every Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Central to phone for freedom. Visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow me on X to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, could anyone have imagined 20 years ago or even in the darkest days of the Obama administration that Islamic terrorists and sympathizers would feel free to rampage across the streets of Manhattan waving Hamas flags? But here we are, and sadly, no arrests, no FBI agents knocking on their doors. Despite formal condemnations and press releases, the jihadists know they have the backing of the Democrats. They're, you know, and this is all what they've been doing 1 week before 9/11. With us now to answer these questions is author Daniel Greenfield. Daniel, thank you for joining us. Nice to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Thank you so much.
So thousands of people, marched in support of Hamas and this Islamic radicalism through downtown Manhattan on Monday afternoon, chanting, screaming. They blocked traffic. And I really have yet to see much on the way of arrests. I really haven't even seen a whole lot of condemnation. It's almost like they just kind of want it to go away because it could be inconvenient for Harris and Waltz.
We've seen in the past pro-Hamas supporters occupy the Capitol, assault police officers. There was a man who punched a female Capitol police officer, which we've been told is the ultimate horrifying act. Yet he got off with a slap on the wrist and no jail time, certainly no extended detention and 5 years in prison the way some people who were there on January 6th got.
So, oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's been across-the-board tolerance, sympathy, political support from them. After there were riots at UCLA, the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors actually voted to pay the legal fees for fund legal defense for the Hamas supporters rioting there. So the Democrats are very much protective of their base, and their base these days includes people who support Islamic terrorism.
Well, and this week, one woman in downtown New York was proudly waving a Hamas flag. Are these people completely tone deaf? Do they not realize that less than 2 weeks ago, six hostages were shot in the back of the head?
They're celebrating it. We've seen multiple videos in which some of the participants actually celebrate the atrocities and the killings. But when somebody is protesting against violence in Gaza, maybe they don't know if they're waving a Hamas flag. They're pretty clear about what they support, and what they support is terrorism and the murder of Americans. The question is why we are continuing to tolerate it.
Well, that is the question. I mean, I've often wondered that is, you know, we're approaching, rapidly approaching, by the way, 1 year of American citizens being held hostage. And, you know, Joe Biden has spent 40% of his administration on vacation. He literally the old coot is lying on a beach somewhere, and six Americans are shot in the back of the head. I get that he's got dementia and he's not in full command of his capacities, but this is really obscene, frankly.
It is. We've seen an administration that was outlaunched in Afghanistan when 13 American service members were killed. Thousands of Americans were trapped behind enemy lines, and the United States had to retreat in a panic. We've seen this when Iran, through its Houthi proxies, took over a crucial waterway and has been attacking and even sinking and destroying ships, while the Biden administration has conducted a meaningless attempt to stop them now going on 9 months with no results. And when they launched it, Biden, Kamala, and were on vacation. The Secretary of Defense was in the hospital, and the Undersecretary of Defense was on the beach. So this is just what's been going on for years now, unfortunately.
We're talking with author Daniel Greenfield. Daniel, we also saw, again, pro-Palestinian protesters have now returned to Columbia University on the first day of classes. Are we expecting another repeat of last semester? Do you think there's going to be any change? The university really hasn't put in any new procedures to protect the Jewish students. They haven't put in any policies to try and stop this. Are we expecting another encampment to come up at some point?
I think we should expect escalation because these groups never actually just repeat. that make it worse. At the University of Michigan, they announced that they're holding all student activity fees hostage, that they're going to defund the university. In other places, they're ramping up increasingly violent clashes because we now have September 11th coming up. That's obviously a crucial date for terrorists. We also have October 7th coming up. So between those dates, I think we should expect intensification of violence. We've already seen two terror attack plots, one that would have targeted New York, another in Vegas, both aimed around those dates. So I think we're not just going to see encampments. We're going to see escalation of violence, including domestic terrorism.
And, you know, Rush Limbaugh famously called this demographic, these college kids, the young skulls full of mush. What do these geniuses want? I know we hear them talking about wanting them to divest from Israel. Do they even understand what that means, or what exactly are they wanting from these colleges?
In many cases, they've been interviewed. They don't know anything about the region.
That's what I thought.
They can't say what from the river to the sea even means, which river, which sea, but they are pretty clear on wanting to destroy America. The Columbia Students for Justice in Palestine issued a statement saying that their ultimate goal through BDS boycotts of Israel is the eradication of America as we know it. So their slogans include Intifada Revolution and globalized Intifada. Their goal is the overthrow of the United States and the entire Western civilization.
So they're basically just anarchists clothing themselves in this cause. But if there was something else, they'd find another reason to just want to bring down the country, essentially.
No, if it wasn't this, they'd be riding over the environment. We saw this with Just Stop Oil, it would be BLM. It would be something.
Right. Yeah.
So the Islamists have made common cause with the Marxists, the far leftists, who simply will ally with any enemy to bring down America.
Lovely. This is what it's come down to. You're author of the book Domestic Enemies, The Founding Fathers Fight Against the Left. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
The theme is the last 200 plus year war against America. People think all the problems we're dealing with started now. George Washington was dealing with them. We were dealing with them during the battles over the Constitution because the left back then still had the same agenda. The American Revolution ushered in equality, human equality. The French Revolution and the leftist revolutions wanted equity, which means the government controls and determines how equal everyone is going to be through unlimited power. And that's still the conflict that we're facing. And it goes into American history from the very beginning through the Civil War and how the left has always been plotting and how the founding fathers, Abraham Lincoln and other key figures, stood up for them.
It really is. The ongoing struggle between freedom and Marxism is really what it comes down to, isn't it? This whole thing is really what this is about.
Yeah, absolutely.
Daniel, I appreciate you, my friend. If folks want to get a copy of the book, they can find it on Amazon, I assume.
Amazon, hopefully any bookstore near you.
Daniel, I appreciate you, brother. Thank you again for joining us, my friend.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
When we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, law enforcement veteran Michael Letts will tell us about, this is shocking, because it's right across the border in Marble Hill, Missouri, a small town, 1,300 folks. Their police department has been shut down, and it may be a result of the Defund the Police movement. You're listening to The John Whitmer Show. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to The John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Americans for Prosperity Kansas. Every Thursday, Americans for Prosperity Action conducts the largest grassroots community operation in the country. You get to join together and phone into key federal races across the U.S. Gives you a great opportunity to impact races across the country. You can join AFP Kansas every Thursday from 3 to 7. Just visit AmericansForProsperity.org and sign up today. And, of course, while you're online, don't forget to find and follow The John Whitmer Show on Facebook and True Social. And make sure you like and follow me on X to get all the latest updates on the show. Well, the Defund the Police campaign that started back in 2020 has done catastrophic damage to police forces. It may be one of the key reasons why the city of Marble Hill, Missouri, no longer has a police force. Back in August, the entire department for that specific police force tendered their resignations, leaving an entire 1,300 or so city to rely on nearby services from Bollinger County.
And the reason for their resignation was budget restraints put in place by the city. The sheriff's department is reportedly working to negotiate a resolution to ensure that law enforcement services will continue to be provided with city officials, but apparently that's still ongoing. Joining us now to discuss the situation further is Michael Letts. He's a law enforcement veteran with over 30 years of experience. Michael, thank you for joining us. It's a pleasure to have you back on the show again, my friend.
Well, John, it's always a privilege to be with you. We thank you for what you're doing, not just for your listeners there, but for keeping America informed.
Appreciate you, brother. So I don't understand why so many of these officials, woke officials across the country, are buying into this defund the police, frankly, BS. Are they trying to appease that radical but loud fringe minority, or is this just an excuse to use the money elsewhere? What would prompt a city to make this kind of decision? Because it's so counterintuitive.
Well, I think, John, you hit the nail on the head. I think it's a little bit of both. Quite frankly, I think, you know, their first and foremost is it just shows how much they bought into this leftist liberal ideology, this communist ideology, to be quite frank with you. And they want to, it's not happenstance. I mean, it's well orchestrated, well planned. They want to destroy our freedoms, destroy our neighborhoods, destroy our country. And the best way to do that is to damage our first responders, law enforcement, so that violent crime skyrockets, which is where we're at right now. I mean, of course, once people panic, you saw this during COVID. You remember, John, you know, when people were concerned about COVID, they were willing to give up freedoms they would have never done before. So they're assuming that once they get you get fearful enough of the violent crime that's spiraling upwards, you'll do a lot of things that you wouldn't normally do, including allowing them to say, look, because this is what the position they've already taken, talking about the federal government. Your local and state police can't do anything anyway. That's why they're being defunded. They're incompetent. But we're going to step in and bring this crime wave down. Of course, we believe that crime is caused by guns. Isn't it odd that they say it's caused by guns, but they don't say the real reason it's caused by the person that pulls the trigger, not the gun itself?
Right.
But they'll take that position, and they'll say, hey, so never fear, we're going to reduce crime, we're going to get rid of guns. And, you know, Kamala especially has already said she's going to basically tell Congress, you either give me what I want and banning these assault rifles. Of course, you remember that's where it starts, John. I mean, it, you know, it continues to escalate from there, but we're going to ban long rifles, et cetera. And if you don't give me what I want, I'm just going to issue an executive order and seize them.
Yeah, it's just kind of shocking when you see this. Marble Hill is a pretty small little town. It's south of St. Louis and east of Springfield, a little part of rural part of Missouri. But, I mean, what will happen to this little town now that they have to rely on police from another county in order to maintain law and order? It's a small town, but still stuff does happen in small towns.
Well, it's not just that stuff happens in small towns. You're right, John. But it's response time. You see,
right.
Here's what we're
That's the key.
To remember is the county says, I need 15 officers. And then the small town says, well, that doesn't give us very good response time. So you're going to come in, we're going to create a town. You're going to pay more taxes now because you're in the town than you are in just the county. But you're going to get a service for it. And one of the services you're going to get is better police protection or better fire protection, whatever. You know, here's one of the things, talking about solutions, John, that we need to take a look at as the citizens and the people of America all across the country. You're charging me, basically, because I'm having to pay taxes for a service. Now you've decided this is a key service. So it's in the Constitution. One of the key things of the Constitution is to provide for the common defense and to make sure we're safe and protected. So you're charging me for a service. Now you're going to cut back on that service. In this case, you're doing away with it altogether. Does that mean you're going to cut back on my taxes? You're going to do away with them altogether?
Right, exactly.
And if not, maybe I should sue you for breach of contract.
Yeah.
And maybe we should start doing that across the country.
We're talking with law enforcement veteran Michael Letts. Michael, you know, this defund the police movement, people on the left, and we saw, you know, a famous one is Congresswoman Cori Bush, who, thank goodness, just lost her reelection. But we've seen this time and time again where these leftist politicians start spouting this nonsense. And it, I think, and you tell me, you've got 30 years of experience in law enforcement. I served as the chair of the Kansas Commission of Peace Officer Standards and Training for 6 years. And you know what the posts are. There's a post in every state. And our function was to oversee standards. And there were cases where we had to remove the credentials for law enforcement officers who misbehaved or who, for whatever reason, they deserved it. But the vast majority of cops are good guys doing the right thing on a tough job. But we're seeing thousands of officers' resignations. And I think part of it is due to this defund nonsense, because they're doing a hard job. Most of them are underpaid and underappreciated. And frankly, they're just tired of this nonsense that comes from this attitude with defund, doesn't it?
Oh, I agree with you wholeheartedly, John. I don't think it's part of it. I think the vast majority of the problem we're seeing is coming from it. It's an allegiance between mainstream media and this leftist ideology who espouse what the leftist ideology wants. You know, Kamala Harris, our Democratic nominee, obviously, has been a very big part of this. She has always stated that she believes in defunding the police.
Yeah.
And goes to such extents as to help raise money to free people on bail who have broken and violated the law. It's amazing to me how they view that, do that, and then when it comes to the election time, it's suddenly, oh, I'm tough on crime. Don't you worry, I'm going to make you safe again. Can't have your cake and eat it too that way, John. It just doesn't work that way. It's just amazing to me that we've got people that would even buy that for a minute.
Yeah, it is interesting how she's running from all the positions that she took when she ran for office 4 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, she's trying to tack back to the middle because she thinks, and sadly, the press isn't calling her on any of that. Michael, I appreciate you as always, brother. If folks want to connect with you, if they want more information on Invest or what you're up to, they can find it at michaelletts.us, and that's L-E-T-T-S, correct?
That is correct. On any time, or they can go to our charity website, investusa.org. It's charity.org.
I appreciate you, brother. Thank you again for joining us. It's always a pleasure having you on the show, my friend.
Well, thank you, John. I appreciate what you do for saving this country. God bless you. God bless America. We'll look forward to some victories here in the near future.
Amen, brother. Appreciate you, my friend. We'll take a quick break. Our studio lines are open. Love to hear from you. Call in 316-869-1330. You're listening to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk. I want to hear from you. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the John Whitmer Show on 98.7 and 1330 KNSS, Wichita's number one talk, sponsored by Wink Hartman and the Hartman Group of Companies. From breaking news to severe weather updates, KNSS is always here for you. Tell your legislators to keep it that way. Keep AM radio in vehicles now. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to keep AM radio in cars. And while you're at it, make sure you like and follow the John Whitmer Show Facebook page and follow us on X at John R. Whitmer to get all the latest updates on the show. It's time now for another Hartman Truth Minute.
I want to congratulate all of the Republican primary winners. During this primary cycle, we have supported and worked actively for opposing candidates. But now it is time we unite as Republicans headed into the general election. There is much to be done, and as conservatives and Republicans, we are better together and united. I, for one, am ready to work and deliver a victory for Donald Trump and the rest of our Kansas GOP candidates up and down the ballot. Now is the time to come together, but we must also hold accountable those who won. Campaign promises are one thing. Delivering on those promises are what matters. All too often, politicians say they think what voters want to hear in order to get elected, and then forget those promises once they get into office. Rest assured, all Kansas voters will be watching.
Amen, boss. Amen. I say boss because I used to work for Wink, and he nails it every time. You got to love his truth minutes. Don't forget the Carry On Commentaries, my new 60-second daily features.
that are you can hear those three times a day, every day here on KNSS. Make sure you listen to those coming up this week. Also coming up this week, the weekly Pachyderm Club luncheon at the Ninth Floor Club. I understand Senator Dr. Roger Marshall is the speaker this Friday. You don't want to miss that. And, of course, on Tuesday evening at the Doubletree by Hilton is the Celebrating Leadership and Courage event, and an evening with Riley Gaines, put on by Kansas Family Voice. Great event. Can't wait for that. If you want tickets, you can get that at kansasfamilyvoice.com. So
I would recommend that to anybody, yeah. not just to the female side of our listenership. I would suggest that to everyone. I don't have a daughter. I have a niece, though. I have friends who have young daughters who are involved in sports, whether it be softball or tumbling or cheer. You need to listen to Riley Gaines. And,
yeah.
And she's speaking out for these girls who are trying so hard, and it's just difficult. So.
Oh, it's shocking. I saw, in fact, I'm looking now on my Twitter feed. By the way, it's at John R. Whitmer, but I'm looking at my Twitter feed, and I saw a tweet that Riley sent out this last week. I retweet a lot of her stuff because she's that good. But she sent out a tweet earlier this week of another game between two college teams, volleyball teams, and one of the teams had a biological male playing on this girl's volleyball team, indoor. And this guy was easily a foot and a half taller than any other competitor on either team. And, of course, they had the guy as a, I don't know what you call him, spiker or whatever, you know, frontline player. And one of the females on his team, set him, so took her hands and lofted the ball up. And this guy goes up to the net, and you could, I mean, just by the jump, I mean, the guy got well above the net. And then if you ever watch volleyball, got up there and went for a spike, hit that ball so hard. Fortunately, it came down and hit the floor. But I just thought, you know, heaven forbid one of the girls on the other side got in between that ball and the floor.
Mm-hmm.
He'd have hurt somebody. And it's going to be only a matter of time before a girl is hurt badly. And we've already seen it. We saw it with that field hockey incident.
Yes.
But maybe that's what's going to have to happen in one of these cases.
It shouldn't have to come to that, though.
It may have to, though. It may have to. It's like, you know, when I interviewed Riley, 2 weeks ago, and I asked, is it going to have to come to these girls refusing to play? And that's sad, too.
That's very sad.
But maybe that's what's going to have to happen.
Common sense should rule the day, but it doesn't.
Phil, look, you had a Supreme Court justice at her confirmation hearing who said, I am not a doctor, so I'm not qualified to say to define what a woman is.
I remember that.
Common sense got thrown out here a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I don't understand this. I mean, yes, you're right. Common sense should prevail, but if we lost common sense on this issue in America a long time ago. It's and we're not talking about gay marriage or who you love or anything like that. This is a whole nother issue. This is some guy deciding it, you know, all of a sudden now I want to, or the genderbread or whatever the heck that is. We're not, you know, or somebody, I got an article someone messaged me the other day where there's a new book out that says there are 96 genders.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, 96? I thought there were two. I mean, but no, there's apparently a university curriculum now where they've identified some 96 genders. Where the hell, you know, you say common sense. 96 genders.
Folks, you can't see me, but I am vigorously shaking my head right now.
But yeah, I mean, so yeah, common sense, you would think common sense, but that got thrown out a long time ago. Don't forget, next Sunday we will be on immediately following the Kansas City Chiefs post-game show. In the meantime, carry on.